We have double parsha, and we have two Sifrei Torah, and we have a choice of two Haftarahs, and we say Chazak Chazak twice, Chazak Chazak, and then we say Vinis Chazek. After all the doubles, it's a lot of doubles. Think about it. So all these doubles we have, this two Sifrei Torah, Shabbos Rish Chodesh. Two parshiyos.
The longest possible career with Rish Chodesh together.
With Rish Chodesh, long.
Can I add to that?
So yes.
By Akupagude,
Parsha Chodesh
is
even
longer. By possible, but that's only when it works out like that.
Okay, so it's quite a ceremony this week. Okay, two parshiyos, two Sifrei Torah. And we discussed already twice this week about the different opinions as to which half. Actually, I got a text last night asking me which half Torah should we learn. Right? I said, ask the rabbi. The rabbi's not here. He's away. They can't get a hold of him. So I told him whatever it says in the Ezra's Torah Luach. Okay, let me adjust. Let me close. Okay. All right, one second. Alright, lower the air conditioner. I also like it. I also, it's too cold for me. I agree with you 100%. Okay, Rabbi, Rabbi Sai, please, let's have some decorum. Okay, so we have over here a lot of doubles, and it's Shabbos, Chazak, and this Chazek. It's also, you have to appreciate, it's really to a very large degree, it's a Simchas HaTorah. It's the Gemar of the whole Torah. Chumash Devarim is a review. It's a Chazorah, Moshe Rabbeinu, he reviews the entire Torah, it's his farewell address. This is the Gemar of the Torah. And it's very interesting that this is taking place against the backdrop of Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av is the beginning of the real meat and potatoes of the Chorban. Even though we observe minhagim of Avela starting from Shavuos v'Tammuz, but Shavuos v'Tammuz it's light. The Avelos that we observe from that point until Chodesh Av is lightweight. Chodesh Av is very serious. It's not just the day in the month of the tragedy, of the five tragedies of Chodesh Av, it affects the entire month. And a intensity of Avelus kicks in when we begin Chodesh Av. And what's very interesting is that in the Haftorah that we will lay on Tisha B'Av, we read that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask the question, why did the Chorban occur? What is the core reason for the Chorban? And Sukkim there tell us that this question was asked to the people on this earth, to the Talmidei Chachamim, to the Malachim, I don't remember all the, to the Nevi'im, to the prophets, I've got all the different categories of people. The question was asked to many, many groups of people, and no one had the real answer. No one knew the real answer as to why the Chorban really happened. Everyone says, Avodazor Gilirai Shvi Chastamim, the Bayashani we know was Sinas Chinam, but the Gemara really presents eight reasons. The Gemara tells us there were eight other reasons why the Chorban Bayis Rishon occurred. So what's going on? You have a very large collection of reasons given to the Chorban, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even asking the question, why did it happen? Go ask a child. Every child will tell you, Avodazor Gilirai Shvi Chastamim, Sinas Chinam. If you want to be more sophisticated, the Gemara enumerates eight other reasons which obviously touch upon the core of the problem. So what is Hashem asking the question? And why is it that no one can find an answer? We know the answers. And the end of the Pasuk says, in Yirmiyah, in the Haftarah, is Al Ozvam Es Torasi. You have abandoned my Torah. Everything at the end of the day is rooted in the chashivos of the Torah, in the lack of appreciation of the Torah. Chazal say the Chorban took place because Shul Berchu ba Torah Techila. When it says in the pasuk, "Ashozu es toidasi," it's because they did not make a bracha. What does it mean? Did not make a bracha? What does that mean exactly? What bracha referring to? Whatever refers to, there are many different answers. It's not our point over here. Is but the point is there was a lack of appreciation, a lack of awareness that kihem chayenu the oirech yameinu. This year it's unique, because this year we are being mesayim the Torah on the day when the Churban truly begins. The Churban is not the ninth day of Av. The observance of the Churban is the Chodesh. It's the Tzoyim HaRevi, the Tzoyim HaChamishi, Tzoyim HaShvi, the Tzoyim HaAsiri. Chazal focus on the month. The event that happens in the month, on the day of that month, really affects the entire month. The entire month, in fact, is rooted in Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is the most significant day of the month. In that day, the Chazal say, in the first day of the month, is all of the events, the whole month, has its shirish in that day. And it's a unique year. In fact, in the calendar, this type of year is extremely unique. Even though we have Tisha B'Av many, many times on Sunday, most of the times when Tisha B'Av is observed on Sunday, it's because it's a Nidche. The vast majority of times when Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, Tisha B'Av really falls out on Shabbos. And because we do not fast on Shabbos, we push Tisha B'Av to Sunday. This year, it's not the case. This year, Tisha B'Av falls out for real on Sunday. And Shabbos is Erev Tisha B'Av. And that's why we discussed this week. That's why the Svardim this year have, it's a breeze. The Svardim, they do not observe the laws of Avelis all of the 9 days. The Svardim observe the laws of Avelis Shavua Shechalboi, only in the week leading up to Tisha B'Av. And this year there is no Shavua Shechalboi for them, because Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, and that's the week. The week is the day when Tisha B'Av falls out. So they basically have almost no laws of Avelis from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av Mamish. It's a very unique year. And what is unique is that Rosh Chodesh is falling out on Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh is the Haschola of the Churban. And built into the Peronus, the Makkah, is the Refuah. Hashem is always Boirei, the Refuah, Koidem, the Makkah. This week we're being Mesayim the Torah. What are the last words of Parshas Maaseh? The last words are Eile. These are Eile Hamitzvos veHamishpatim Asher Tzivo Hashem Biyad Moshe El Bnei Yisrael BeArvos Moav Al Yarden Yerechon. This pasuk says it all. These are the mitzvos and the mishpatim. These terms all represent the whole scope of the Torah. The refuah is koidem the makkah. Before we come into the month, as we come into the month, we're being reminded, Asha Ozmes Torasi, the most beautiful time of learning Torah is when you make a siyum. Not because the siyum is the end. Adrab, it gives you new encouragement to start fresh. Probably many people over here are starting to mesech the sukkah. New Masechta. It's Friday, but tomorrow is the Siyum of the Torah Baal Peh. I'll give you an example. I saw something that was very, very fascinating. I never realized this. It totally shook me up to the core. I saw this in my Gladstein Sefer on the Bein HaMitzadim, and he points out that how do we start HaKofos on Simchas Torah? Ato Horei Solo Das. I'm not a Baal Menachim. Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Einoi Milvadoi. He claims that is the nigun of Eicha. Eicha Yoshva Bodod Ha'ir Rabosiyam Ha'yisoh Ke'almona. The only difference, he says, is the Soif Posuk. Ato Horei Solodas Ki Hashem. It's the same nigun. The nigun of Ato Horei Solodas is the nigun of Eicha. Isn't that, you ever know that? I never had that. I told him, someone is, what? We start singing, he tells me it's not the same, maybe it is the same. But Rabbi Gladstein says, get over it, it's exactly the same melody. The only difference is the Soif Pasuk. Ato Haresa, the Seif Pasuk, you end on a high. Ato Haresa, Lodaki Hashem, Enoid, Milvado, you go up. And the Seif Pasuk in Eicha, Eicha Yoshobo, Dodo Irabosiam, Hoyeso, Kalmono, you go down. That's the only difference. And that also sets. Now, what is that we discussed? Let's go back. We discussed that there are 22 days of the Bein HaMitzvah. Even though we say 3 weeks, that's not really correct. 3 weeks with 3 weeks is, you know, 7 times 3 is 21. But count the end days. When you count Shiva Asa B'Tammuz and you count Tisha B'Av, it's 22 days.
Right.
20 days. How many days are there from Rosh Hashanah through Simchas Torah?
Same. Two.
22 days. In Chutz Diyaris, there are 22 days, 22 days. And that means each day, and Chazal make this calculate this idea, is Zelu Mazeh. Just as we have 22 days of Avelus, there are 22 days of joy. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tif. Yom Kippur is a Yom Tif. These were the greatest Yom Tovim for Klal Yisrael, Kapara. It's a Yom Tif. We have Sukkis. This is Zman Simchas Seinu. It's Zeh Lu'uma Zeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the degree of joy you will have on the coming Sukkos will correspond to the degree of Avelus that we devote, we focus on during the Bein HaMitzvah. Zeh Lu'uma Zeh. So what's the last day of the 22 days? Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah corresponds to Tisha B'Av. What do we do on Simchas Torah? The Torah, we conclude the Torah. The last pasuk of the last pasuk, L'chol hayot ha-chazak asher osa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. We are Messiahim, chamisha, chumshei Torah. The siyam ha-Torah. That's what we do on Simchas Torah. What is Tisha B'Av all about? We read the Haftorah, and in the Haftorah, Hashem asks the question, Al-mo of the ha'aretz. Does anyone here know why the Eretz Yisrael was Chodav? Anyone? Nevim, you know? Malachim, you know? Balabatim, you know? There's a whole list. No one knows. Avodah Zarah, Gila Reis, wrong. That's not the real answer. That's a nice drush. Anyone here know? Any? Ashes, I'll tell you. Al Asher Ozvam Es Toirasi. You've abandoned my Torah. You've abandoned the chashivas. You do not appreciate the gift of Torah. That is why you have a Tisha B'Av. That is why there's a Churban. That is Tisha B'Av. That is what we read about on Tisha B'Av. The lack of appreciation of the Torah HaKadosha. And what does Tisha B'Av correspond to? Simchas Torah. The Simcha of Torah is the parallel to the Tsar of Klal Yisrael. The Tsar of Klal Yisrael, the Churban that we have in Klal Yisrael, is Lu'umas, is Al Asher Ozvam Es Torasi, is Kineged, the Simchas HaTorah. And the Simchas HaTorah is expressed through the Siyam HaTorah. And it's for that reason we connect the two. We start off Simchas Torah. When you finish Maariv and you want to now dance with the Torah, what do? Eicha. Eicha. Atore Solodas. The Nigun of Eicha. The Nigun of Eicha. To remember that our Simcha today is what will remove the Tsar of Eicha. And when we lay in Eicha, we lay in Eicha with the same Nigun that we start Simchas HaTorah. Atohore Solodas. The two go together. The only difference is he has a Rabbi Glatzin, has his whole drush, he has beautiful drush. You go high. On Simchas Torah, when you end up the Pasuk, the Tsar, it takes you higher. It's a reminder, but the Gemara is on Tisha B'Av, you conclude on a low. But the two are two sides of one coin. Just like Tisha B'Av and Simchas Torah are two sides, this Shabbos is the same thing. This Shabbos begins the Ikor Tsar Avelus of the Churban. Chodesh Av. This is the real deal. Shavasa B'Tammuz is a fast day. No, so we also, we continue to fast, we continue to observe a token Avelus until you get to Rosh Chodesh Av. Chodesh Av is the real deal. This is the real deal. We're starting. And how do we start? How do we begin the Avelus? Simchas HaTorah. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. This is the Gemar. This week is the Gemar of the Torah. Chumish Devarim. It's a Chazara. Chazara Samaymar. Chazara Sashir. That's a Chazara. But this is the Gemar. This is Mamish Simchas Torah. It's not an accident. Simchas Torah and Chodesh Av are two sides of one coin. Almo ovdo ha'oretz al asher ozvam es Torasi. Just like when we come to Tisha B'Av, we're going to lay an Eicha in the same nigun that we're going to say Ata Horeso Lodas. We're doing really the same principle this Shabbos, where the two come together in an unusual way that doesn't happen every single year. Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to awaken us to this principle. What else do we do the Shabbos that's unique? And I'm really willing to bet that this is really the really when we do the Shabbos, we do other times, really comes from this week. This week is Rosh Chodesh Av, Shabbos. Are we going to say the regular Musaf Shemoneh Esrei? We're not going to say the regular Musaf. We're going to say a different Shemoneh Esrei for Musaf.
Before we start, something bothering me is, should be Midasai Maruva.
Yeah.
Zelum
Azeh?
Yeah, it should be the
Midah Toiva. It's not really a Midah. It's
a different category.
Yeah, it's a different type of. I think about it. It's like a Midah. It's just parallels.
Yeah.
Okay. Now what do we do for Musaf? Ordinarily, what do we say? What is the Nusach of Musaf for Shabbos? Tikanta Shabbos, Ratzisa, Karbon Oseha, Tzivisa, Perushach, and Sinus. You know what those words mean? Another time, we have a whole go shit where we once spent time what this refers to. This really refers to Lechem HaPanim. The whole thing of Tikanta Shabbos, from beginning to end, until it's all about the Lechem HaPanim. But not for now. What do we do the Shabbos? We don't say Tikanta Shabbos. We read Ato Yotzarta. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, we have a new Nusach. Now, this nusach is a very interesting nusach. This nusach basically is the nusach, more or less, of the Shalosh Regalim. The Shalosh Regalim. It's interesting, Rav Avraham Shur, he writes about this, and he says, most people, when it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, how do you look at Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? You can look at it one of two ways. You'll say, it's really Shabbos, but you have to pay homage to Rosh Chodesh. So you say, Yalav Yavav. Right during when Rosh Chodesh falls out during the weekday, you go to work. You do. It's a regular weekday. Oh, but it's Rosh Chodesh. Oh, so when you come to Ritzei in the Shemoneh Esrei, Yale V'Yavo. Don't forget to say Yale V'Yavo. But it's a weekday. So Shabbos the same thing. If we wouldn't know better, we would think it's come Shabbos. Oh, Tikanta Shabbos Ritzisa Karbon Asecha. So when you go to the Musaf, don't forget to say Yale V'Yavo. Ah, you have to say a carbon? Yes, yeah, so we'll say the carbon in the Alev Yavo, or we'll add maybe one line, we'll add one line over Yom HaShabbos, so we'll add one line into, you know, the Karbonos to mention. But it's Shabbos, right? No. Rosh Chodesh is the Iker. Okay, so you know, what should we say? Rosh Chodoshim Liam Chonosoto Zman Kaporo L'chol Toloisam. If Rosh Chodesh is the Ikor, so on tomorrow we should be saying the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Chodesh. What do you say when Rosh Chodesh falls out during the weekday? What do you say? What is the Musaf for Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodeshim li'amicha nosata zman kapara l'chol toldoisam. So if you want to say a different Musaf tomorrow, we should say tomorrow Shabbos Rosh Chodesh for Musaf, Rosh Chodoshim Liam Chodosota. And when you get to the Korbanos, don't forget to add Uviyoy Mashabbos. So, what would you like to do tomorrow? If you wouldn't know any better, you would say, we'll do tomorrow one of two things. When it comes to Musaf, we'll say the Shabbos Musaf, and we'll add a little line for Rosh Chodesh, or tomorrow we will recite the Rosh Chodesh Musaf and we'll add one line for Shabbos. Do we do this? No, none of the above. What do? A whole new Musaf. A whole new Nusach. A brand new Nusach. And the truth is, it's not really a new Nusach. The Nusach basically is the Nusach of the Sholosh Regalim. It's the Musaf of the Sholosh Regalim. That's really most of what the Nusach is all about. The Kerav Tonim Alkeinu Avodasecha V'Shimcha Hagadol V'Yakadosh Alinu Kodosa V'Atitim Manu Hashem Alkeinu B'Yava Shabbos Sois L'Menucho V'Rosh Echadosh L'Chapar. This is the Sprach, the motif of the Sholosh Regalim. What do you learn from this? That the sum is greater than the parts. When Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, now my Rav Avram Shur, he writes about this. When Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh come together, it's not the pshat that it's Shabbos, and it's also, you know, don't forget it's Rosh Chodesh. And it's not the pshat, it's Shabbos, and don't forget it's also Rosh Chodesh. When Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh come together, the sum of the parts is greater than the whole. Is that how it goes?
The whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. It's a whole new league. Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh come together. It's mamash, the Sholosh Regalim.
So why don't we start after the Chartan? Why do you say after the Chartan?
It's a different nusach. Yeah, it's even greater. It's even more. The Sholosh Regalim is only the Sholosh Regalim is only the Sholosh Regalim. Here you have two things coming together. It's even greater. But the rest of the nusach is kemat. The rest of the nusach is the Sholosh Regalim. But there's something very interesting about this, and that is, we say something on the Sholosh Regalim that we're now going to say tomorrow, which is so apropos and so penetrating specifically for tomorrow that you don't have any other time. Ulefi, what do we say tomorrow in the Musaf? Ulefi shechatonu lefonecha. We have sinned. Anachnu v'avoseinu. Chorva Irenu, v'shomein beis mikdashenu. Our city has been destroyed. Our beis hamikdash has been obliterated. V'gola yikorenu. Our honor has been exiled. V'nutal kavoid mi beis chayenu. V'ein anachnu yicholim la'asoyis v'chayvoseinu. Bebeis b'chirasecha b'bayis hagadol v'hakadosh nikoshim cholav b'mnei hayotshin shalach b'mikdashecha. Hirotzen mulfenach ha'shem uchim l'chayvoseinu. Shetaleinu v'simcha li'artzenu. V'sitoeinu b'gvoleinu. V'sham nasa l'fenach ha'skamos chayvoseinu. Do you even say such powerful words on Tisha B'Av? You don't. Not even in Nachim. You don't say such powerful words. And tomorrow you say these words. I have a heritage that when they instituted, I can't prove this to you, so I say this, but when they instituted that you say a different nusach on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, it was primarily instituted for Rosh Chodesh Av, Shechal Yoyis B'Shabbos. Because there can be no other week in the whole year that it's more appropriate to say these words. The ikur of Tisha B'Av is not Tisha, it's the Chodesh. It's the Chodesh. And in fact, you know, this is the fact we discussed this, is that when the Navi, Zechariah, demanded, he sanctioned that you have to fast for the Churban Beis HaMikdash, he did not demand that it be done specifically on the ninth day of the month. The takana of the Navi is, from Hashem, pick a day. You decide. If you have a wedding on the ninth day of Av, so you fast on the third day of Av. If you have a dentist appointment on the ninth day of Av, so make Tisha B'Av on the seventh day of Av. The original takana is not to fast specifically on the ninth day. The takana is you pick any day you want that is convenient for you, and that's when you fast. That was the original takana. Now, that did not go off well, because Klal Yisrael, you know, there's too much conflict. So, Bezin had to come together, and in Misakin, we're going to pick one day. And that's why the Gemara has a whole debate. Should it be the ninth day or should it be the tenth day? Some said the ninth day, some said no. Most of the Beis HaMikdash burned on the tenth day. Excuse me, isn't this a divine decree? Hatsoim HaRevihi, Hatsoim HaChamishi, Hatsoim HaShvi, Hatsoim HaSiri. No, it's not a divine decree. The divine decree is you pick any day you want in the month. Over time, that did not work well for us. We need to have standardization. So one day was selected, and there was a very big debate as to what that one day should be. The Iker is the Chodesh. What's the Iker of the Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is the Iker. There could be no Rosh Chodesh that is more appropriate for us to say these words, what we say tomorrow, of Ulefi Shechotanu Lefonecha. Anachnu v'avoseinu charvo yideinu v'shamein beis mikdoshenu v'golo yikoreinu v'nilkavim beis chayenu. There can be no week the whole year that's more appropriate to say this nosach. I wonder if it was composed only for tomorrow, and then by extension, every time Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, so we say it as well. But it has to be. This is the ikor shebe ikorim. To say this Nusach tomorrow on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Av. This captures what the month is all about. It captures what the purpose of Tisha B'Av. You cannot have better words to express what it's all about. And tomorrow we have that opportunity. Okay. Let's go to another idea. I want to tell you something.
We say a similar Nusach on a regular Yom Tov.
Right. Also. Yes, that's right. So regular Yom Tov, that's not that because regular Yom Tov is not a casual, because regular Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah, Lila Regel. On a regular Yom Tov, there's an obligation to be Oilila Regel. So you have a chiv to bring korbanos. You have to almost apologize. There's an obligation on the Shalosh Regalim. Shalosh Pam Bashana Yere'e Kol Zuchurches Pnei Hashem Elokecha Makom Asher Yivchar. There are special korbanos that have to be yovel. There's special things. So then we have to basically apologize. Nu Ribono Shel Olam, nu we can't do it. But that is just a consequence of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the mother of the Shalosh Regalim in that regard. The Chorban happened on Tisha B'Av, Chodesh Av, and as a consequence, so when it comes to the Shalosh Regalim, nu, what can we do? We can't go and bring the oil of the regal. Those are secondary to tomorrow. Chodesh Av is the source of why on the Shalosh Regalim we have to say this as well. Okay, now I want to tell you, before I have some serious things to say, but I want to tell you something a little bit humorous. Not humorous, and it's not even necessarily true. I saw that it was debunked this morning, but I'm not so sure it was debunked. I'll tell it to you anyway. And you have to appreciate, nothing happens in this world by accident. Hakol behashgacha. That's the basic principle of Yadus. Everything's behashgacha. I find it very, I don't know what the right word is, humorous, interesting, bizarre, very bizarre, super duper over the top, crazy. There's a woman, her name is Rivka Ravitz. Am I pronouncing that name right? Ravitz. Who is she? She is the personal secretary of Reuven Rivlin. Reuven Rivlin was, now he's no longer, his term is over.
Yes.
He was the president of Israel, the state of Israel, Medinas Yisrael. The president, Reuven Rivlin, very fine person. And this is Rivka Ravitz is his personal secretary, I think for how many years? 22 years, maybe even more. Ever since he started in politics, he selected her as he hired her, and she's been with him for all of these years. About a week ago, Reuven Rivlin, at the end of his term, he came to America to meet with the president of the United States, the leader of the free world. Do I need to tell you how much power this person has? The leader of Western civilization, the leader of the free world. And Biden, I don't know Biden, Hakol B'Hashkacha, and he was talking, and Reuven Rivlin, he introduces his secretary. That's very interesting. How many times do you hear about a head of state introduce to another head of state, this is my secretary? How many times do you hear about that?
She's a bit more than that.
Okay, so she's obviously
she's like running the
And she is a Haredi. She is a Shomer, Shomeres Shabbos. She's the real deal. No questions asked. Shekinah Nahara has 12 children. 12 children. And he introduces her. And I don't know how this came up in the conversation. Reuven Rivlin said to Biden, she has 12 children. In America, where the average citizen has 1.634 children. So, 12 children. He was blown away. Blown away looking at a woman that has 12. I never heard of such a thing. A woman has 12 children. In Williamsburg, it's no big deal, right? In Williamsburg, dime a dozen.
It's the Catholic way in the old days.
So Biden, 12. So I don't know what licked on God. He bowed down to her. He got down on both knees. Both knees, not one knee. Okay, to the when they had Juneteenth, he only got down on one knee. Here he got down on both knees. He bowed down. A woman who has 12 children, Rivka, he bowed down on both knees. All right. No.
With him, it's not a riot.
All right, it's not a riot. Right, exactly. Okay,
here's
what was
second?
Yesterday, or 2 days ago.
It sounds like Alexander Ruvay, when he bowed down to Shimon.
Ruvain Rivlin, he went to Italy. He went to the Pope Francis, and he meets with the Pope. Now, this is what it says in the blogs, in the Allgemeiner. I researched this because some will tell you it's not true. They want to. I read in one of the websites that it's not true. Sheker v'chazov. You know something? For some reason, I think it is true. The picture is pretty compelling. And I wonder the slant of the people who are saying it's not true. They just I don't know. They have an agenda. I don't know if it's true or not. Okay, so I don't want to lie to you. I don't know. You decide. The websites that have it, they have not taken it down, and they have not had an edit that it's not true. They say it the way it is. Whether it's not true or not, you go and you tell me whatever the real MS is. But they show a very compelling picture, and they write a story until this morning where they say it's not true, is that they went and she met him already before in 2018. They had the same thing. They met before in 2018, and now they met again, and she comes there, and the protocol is you shake the hand of the Pope, and you bow before the Pope. You do two things. You shake his hand and you bow. That's the protocol. So she gently, this is what they write there, again, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's what they write. She gently explained to him that she's an Orthodox Jew and she cannot shake his hand. Number two, she cannot bow because he's wearing a tzelem. It's avodah zarah. Can't bow in front of a person. This whole Gemara, you know, you can't bow, even though you're not bowing to avodah zarah. It's all, you know, it's the chumrah, but you don't want some taking pictures. You don't want to be seen in the Haredi news. An Orthodox Jewish woman is bowing before the Pope was wearing a tzela. You don't want to do that. So the Pope right away, he was very gracious. Right away, of course, he covered his cross, and he bowed. He bowed before her. She told him, I can't bow to you because you're wearing a tzelem. I can't shake your hand. I apologize. Please forgive me. He says, of course, of course, of course. I'm sorry that my cross is hanging like this. He covered his cross and he bowed before her. So I'm thinking to myself, you have here a woman, Rivka, the Rivka Ravitz, the two of the most powerful people in this world within one week are bowing before Rivka. The two basic leaders who represent Edom, represent Esav, the religious element of Esav and the secular element of Esav, within a week. My high. Rivka, it's very interesting. Now, I'm just telling you nonsense now, but maybe it's not nonsense. Nothing happens by accident. Did you ever hear of a person that the most powerful leaders in the world are bowing before them, and it's being reported?
Maybe
Rabbi, maybe put by the Avtara because Rivka was the mother of Esav.
Exactly. Rivka is the mother of Esav. And Rivka gave the brochos to Yaakov. Rivka gave the brochos to Yaakov at the expense of not giving it to Esav. And Esav was furious. Esav wanted to kill Yaakov. And it was told to Rivka in Ruach HaKodesh, Hine Echa V'chicha I've got the words, rising up against you to kill you. He's waiting until you die. He wants to take upon you Tanchumin, and he's waiting for you to die, and he's going to kill you. And Rivka says, run away, my child. And here, 3,000 years later, the Einikloch of Esav. Esav, he wanted the brachos, the religious element, the Pope. He wanted the Gashmias, the President of the United States, the richest nation in the world, the Gashmias, the Ruchnias, both Einikloch of, who represent the Einikloch of Esav, is bowing to their mother Rivka, saying, I'm moide on the brachos. Klal Yisrael is dominant. Now, is this Purim Torah? I'm sure 90% of the people will say it's Purim Torah.
Yep.
But nothing happens by accident. It is bizarre as can possibly be. And I don't know what to make out of it, but I had to get it off my chest. Now, why am I telling this to you?
If you stand on your principles, you can get respect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why am I telling this to you? What does it do with the Parsha? Because in this week's Parsha, we learn about the Benois Tzlafchot. We learn about, Rashi has some very beautiful things to say about the Benois Tzlafchot. The Benois Tzlafchot stood on principles, Rav Michal just said. Lomonigora! Why should we be denied our rights in Eretz Yisrael? And Rashi is a very beautiful Rashi. Rashi goes through this week's parasha. Benois Tzlafchot appear already twice, I think twice before they already appeared. But in this week's parasha, it tells us they got married, and it tells us that they got the Yerusha. And Rashi asks the question, why is the order of their names here this way, and elsewhere it's this way? So Rashi tells us, because one place will list them according to their birth, one place according to their greatness, to teach us they were all chashuvos. You know, Orthodox Judaism has a hard time with women. Let's not make believe. There's always issues in the Haredi world, the role of a woman.
Vice versa, right.
How do the men?
The women have hard time with
with the men, okay. But this week's parasha, Rashi says, I'm surprised he wasn't banned, Rashi, by the Haredi police. Rashi has some very high praise for Nashim. Rashi, at the end of the parasha, let me see if I can find it, talks about the Benois Tzlafchot, and he says some very amazing things about women. Rashi here says, let's find the Rashi if I can. What?
They were proud Zionists.
They were proud Zionists, and Rashi has very high praise for them. Let's see, where do they go over here? One second. Vayitzav Moshe Zois Haaretz. Then it says, V'nachla, here it is. V'miya Hayoivel. Oh, Machla and Sirtza. Okay, it's in Perik Lamed Vav Pasig Yud Aleph. Kan Minon here and over here they're being ordered Lefi Gidulasan. Zu Mizu Bishonim in years. Okay, Gidulasan in which one was older? Vinasu Kisader told our son of Vichol Hamikra Minon Lefi Chochmasan. Elsewhere they're ordered according to their wisdom. When Machshav, the Torah here is Machshav, women who are educated, who are chachamos, melumados. Okay, you can't go and say, just stay in the kitchen. No such thing. It says here, Nashim, who are chachamos, the choshev. We don't. Not every woman is the same. The Torah is very much pro women, pro education for women. It's what it says. Lefi chachmasan umagid sheshkuloi zu kizu. Each one was great in their own right. Okay, Rashi talks about their order of their the order of their three things Rashi mentions represents their chokhmah, their he has four words he really uses: gidulah son, toldah son, chokhmah son, and sheshkuloi zukizu. Okay, you have to delve into the depth of this Rashi. But Rashi over here, every single word of Rashi is gold. And Rashi over here, when he discusses these Noshim, he talks about four qualities: Gidulah son, Toldah son, Chochmah son, and they have a koyach also in Noshim to come together. That's even a greater koyach, where you can work together. Men have a very big problem with that. Men have a very big problem of shkuloi zukizu. How many men are you willing to go say, oh, we're equals? Yeah, you wish. Equals. Who's the boss? That's the question. Nashim have a koyach sheshkuloi, that when it's necessary, they can all come together and unify themselves in one unit. But don't take away from the fact, there's a seidel fi chachma son, a seidel fi tolda son, a seidel fi gidula son. And it's not an accident that this week, this bizarre story where a woman by the name of Rivka met with the Pope and the President of the United States, two people who clearly capture the totality of Esav, of those who have embraced the ideology of Esav, and they bow before the namesake of their mother, of his mother. Haloi Doverhu. Haloi Dover, this is not something you just...
By the way, the column last night, my editor, name is Rivka also.
Wow, you see that? Mazel tov. Rabbi Neumann gets a mazel tov. His granddaughter became a kala. We wish him a bracha, a nachas from her and from all of his children and grandchildren. Mazel tov.
Both of these incidents happened...
Biden happened last week. Biden happened last week. This happened, I think, 2 days ago. Or maybe even yesterday.
The other one happened in 2018.
No. It happened. No. It happened. But no. With the Pope.
The Pope.
She doesn't say anything happened then. Then she just met him. They show an old picture from 2018 of her meeting.
And him bowing Pope. To her.
No, he did not bow to her then. In 2018, he did not bow to her.
This
he bowed to her.
Picture.
This is a brand new picture. She met with the Pope twice. 2018 and 2 days ago. 2 days ago, supposedly, he bowed to her. A week ago, she met with Biden, and Biden definitely, that's not undeniable. You see him on his knees. That's undeniable. What happened 2 days ago in the picture, it shows he's bowing. I mean, you can't deny the fact that he's bent, his vertebrae, he was yoytzei moidin in Shemoneh Esrei. He bent all the vertebrae, the 18 vertebrae, right? They're all bent.
So where was this reported about the Pope?
About the Pope is reported in the Allgemeiner, reported in all the media, all the media outlets. However, I did see this morning, this report, I thought of it was Torah Misinai, and then I saw this morning the real story, where one, I don't remember which website, he tried very hard to say that the story is not true. That he didn't. I don't know. You read it. It doesn't really. For some reason, it's a little fishy in how they say it's not true. The picture is pretty good.
Yeah.
The picture is where he has his hand. He has his hand over the cross, covering the cross very clearly, and he's bent down to the degree where he's yoytzei moidim.
And that was in the Allgemeine's picture.
Who
yeah.
are you going to believe?
And the Allgemeine has no charata. They didn't retract. They don't have a note. Oh, the story. They didn't back off from the story. And the other websites didn't back off from the story either. Someone who has some issue with Orthodox Jews has an issue, so they want to say the story is not true. Maybe it's not true. I have no agenda here. If it's not true, it's not true. I'm not coming to make up stories. If it's not true, it's not true. I got excited because some people say it is true. And to me, it's just so bizarre. In 1 week, this woman by the name of Rivka, the heads, two of the most powerful people who represent Esav are bowing before the namesake of their mother, Rivka. Wow! And it's happening over here, and it's happening, Ben Amsam, and it's happening against the backdrop of Matas Masei, where Rashi goes to town and tells us about the greatness of these Noshim. The Noshim, Tzidkonios, Machla, Noya, Sirtza, whatever the names of the five Noshim, who said, Lamoni Gora, women of principle. women of principle who succeeded in getting a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Haloi Davar, she...
Who was this Rivka that you were talking about?
She is the secretary of President, past President, Reuven Rivlin. Reuven Rivlin.
Chief of staff.
He's the president. Reuven Rivlin was the president of Israel, no?
She was the chief of staff.
Chief of staff. Okay, she's in high. It's even higher. More chashev. She has been working for him for 22 years. She has been working for him for 22 years. They show a picture there of him at the bris of her 12th child. She has 12 children, and okay, listen, is this Purim Torah? Maybe it is Purim Torah, I don't know, but it definitely, you have to also have some emunah that nothing happens in this world by accident. Things trickle down in very bizarre ways in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us. He doesn't have, we don't have Nevi'im today, we don't have Baskol today, but sometimes Hashem sends us a little gift. He sends us little teeny simonim, which may be humorous, but certainly are enlightening. And make you wonder, at least they make you wonder, what in the world is going on here, right? If you don't hear such stories like this with someone, with two people like this, and one week bow down to a woman, Orthodox Jewish woman with 12 children, you don't hear such stories like this.
The Yatten will show the Lord bowing down to a chair.
What?
The Yatten will show the Lord bowing down to a chair.
The Yatten is not going to show a picture of a woman, okay. Very, very interesting. Now let's just show you one part, it's a little bit, I want to show you the one, at least one part in the parsha. And we have here part of the parashas Matas Maaseh, you know, with something very, very much related to the theme of the Bein HaMitzarim. It's a very, I never personally were able to grasp this, the whole story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Bizarre as can pass it. That's not a very bizarre story in the Torah. Here you are, you're Avodim in Mitzrayim. Moshe comes, I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim. We're going to give him a Kabbalah term. We're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And then they go, miracles, miracles, miracles. They go through the desert 40 years to come to Eretz Yisrael. They're finally, here they are. They're about to enter the land. They sat in Koilel for 40 years, learning about the Kedushas Ha'aretz. I mean, you know, Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. People have given up their lives for Eretz Yisrael. You know, with what's been going on in our history in Eretz Yisrael. And Reuven and God say, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, we're not interested. Thank you, but no thank you. Umikne Rav, we have a lot of cattle. Really, your animals, the behemoths, are more important than the Kedusha Soaretz? I don't have any answer for you. I don't know what's going on. This thing, I never really understood this. What is going on over here? And all the answers you're going to give me, you're not going to satisfy. You go, oh, they wanted to be near where Moshe is buried. That's a classic answer. They knew Moshe's not going. He's going to be buried over here. They want to stay with him. Come on. So you'll go visit him. You'll go to the cemetery. Every yard site, you'll go. You'll cross over the Yarden. You'll get on a bus. You'll get on a helicopter. You'll go. What? The whole thing is very... Listen, I don't have answers. It's not... Okay, that's not the point. But it's a very... difficult story.
Before a person eats, he has to take care of his animals and feed them.
So okay.
He has to feed all.
And Hashem
animals,
doesn't know that. Hashem
got a big problem.
Hashem doesn't know that. Hashem told him, "You go into Eretz Yisrael." Hashem tells you, "I'm giving you the land, Eretz HaKodesh." Hashem will find the solution for your animals in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem will. What's going on over here? Mikneraf. I don't. That's not the point. I don't know. It's a very difficult parish. I don't have answers for. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he explodes. He explodes here in a way that you don't find him behaving. This is totally uncharacteristic of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he has an issue with Klal Yisrael, there's a pasuk here, pasuk there, even with Korach, Moshe's response was muted. Moshe, he barely said a few words with Korach, get together. Here, he goes on a tirade, goes on and on and on and on. What's going on over here?
You misunderstood what they
were. Okay, but even if you misunderstood, to say that Moshe misunderstood is not so poshut. To say that Moshe is the Chacham Mikol Adam, he misunderstood. Moshe seemed to know what's going on. Okay, so I know. Okay, there's a lot to talk about. But it's...
They had so many cattle. How come they didn't have meat in the desert? I don't understand.
Exactly that. Right. That's the Farshim asked that question as well. There are a lot of questions. We can't discuss all the questions, but I want to discuss with you one prat. Okay, I want to just mention one idea which I think that there's Devarim Begav. There's something here that has to be dealt with. They come to Moshe and they complain. What set off Moshe Rabbeinu? There's something here that really rubbed Moshe the wrong way in responding in a way that is thoroughly inconsistent with Moshe Rabbeinu's behavior. So the first insight we get into Moshe is where he says in his response, which wasn't even necessary for him to say, you're behaving just like the Meraglim. And then, by the way, this is very, very, very apropos for the Beit HaMitzar. Five things happened on Tisha B'Av, and the first thing on the list is the Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, what did you say? You don't want to go into the land? You want to remain over here? You want to remain over here? Oh, you're just like the Meraglim. They say, not only say, but they come, they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ha'aretz asher hikra Hashem lefnei Adas shel eretz niknehi v'lavodecha nikneh v'yomru imo tzanach eminecha yutanes aretz azos lavodecha lachuza al tavirenu esayardeh. Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu, he hears this, he explodes, and he says, what did you say? And he goes, v'lamos sini'u neslei b'nei Yisrael me'avores aretz asher nosim lohem Hashem koyosu avoyseichem. Ah, the Meraglim all over again. Deja vu all over again. Vayalu, that's exactly, and he goes on a whole history lesson. They don't know, they were around. Vayalu el Nachaleshko, Vayures Aretz, Vayuniu, and they what's the translation, Vayuniu? They dissuaded. Vayuniu. Dissuaded. They hampered. They influenced them to enslave B'nai Yisrael. They dampened. They took away the excitement of the hearts of the Jewish people. Levilti vo'el ha'aretz asher nosan lohem Hashem. Vayicharaf Hashem vayomuch vayishav aleim. And he goes on and he talks about kol ben yifuneh. Va'ahinei kamtem tachas avoyseh. Ah, you're just like your ancestors. It's the Meraglim all over again. Tarbus anoshim chatoim lispois oid al charoi naf Hashem el Yisrael. And he goes on and on. Wait a minute. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have just cut into them without mentioning the Meraglim, we'll be very happy. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to bring up the Meraglim? What kind of chutzpah is this? You don't want to go? You're gonna dampen the spirits of your brethren who are going to fight, and you're gonna sit back behind. You're not gonna go into Eretz Yisrael. It's just not menschlichkeit. This is what it's all about. We've been preparing for this since Yitzias Mitzrayim. You have no menschlichkeit. Where's that? And what kind of achdus for your brethren? You're gonna let them fight, but they should die. And you're gonna sit here and with your animals over here. What's going on? You don't need to bring up the Meraglim. Why is Moshe bring up the Meraglim? So I want to suggest there's a common denominator between the Meraglim and this story, which speaks volumes and is a Musa Haskel for all of us every single day. When the Meraglim, when they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, they also have a very long speech. Moshe was listening. Moshe is a very good listener. Okay, in the business, you know, that's the rule they tell you in life, 80-20. You ever hear that rule? When you talk to someone, you should listen 80% of the time and talk 20% of the time. You're wasting your breath. Whatever needs to be communicated, you'll hear it from the other fellow. That's a rule that's the rule that psychologists tell you. 80-20. Listen 80% of the time and talk 20% of the time. So they have a lot to say, and Moshe's quiet. They get to a certain point where Moshe explodes, and that is clearly the connection to the Meraglim, and that's the Musa for us. Let me read you the pasuk. Vayomru, they say to Moshe, Imatzanu chen be'einecha, after they describe how beautiful their whole situation, Yutan, may it be given, Es ha'aretz hazos lavodecha la'achuzah. The pasuk should stop right here. That's all they needed to say. We don't understand their reason, their logic, but they had good reason, obviously. It's beyond our comprehension. They had very, whatever their reasons are, and Moshe was listening. Okay, I hear you have issues. You don't want to, okay. All they needed to say after giving the whole introduction, Imotsanu chein b'einecho yutan may be given es ha'aretz hazos, on the other side of the Yarden, on the east side, la'avodecho to your servants, la'achuza, period. And then they made a fatal mistake, which touched the core heart and mind of Moshe Rabbeinu. They added four more words that are totally unnecessary. Al ta'avireinu es hayardein. Do not ask us, cause us, persuade us to cross over the Yarden. It's not necessary to say those words. You already said what you wanted to say. Yutan may be given es ha'aretz hazois lavodecha la'achuza. That means we want to live here and not there. It means we're happy to stay here. That automatically means we're not going across the Yarden. There's nothing more that needs to be said. Why do you have to go and say those words? Moshe, al ta'avireinu es ha'yarden. That opens up a whole new world. That's a Freudian slip.
Was that meant to say that they weren't going to fight for the land?
That's irrelevant. That part is not even relevant yet. That's another schmooze. If you don't like something, you don't have to say. Let's say a boy dates a girl, and he doesn't like how she looks. He doesn't go for her looks. So when he comes home, he says to the shatran, "She's ugly as sin." Is that necessary to say that? You say to the shatran, "It's not for me. Chemistry." Chemistry, Lashon Sagenar, the chemistry. If you want to say, you say, you know, she's a beautiful girl, but it just, it's just not my taste. I don't know. I don't even know the right words. I don't know how to say. You don't have to say, yeah, I went out with a girl. She is as ugly as sin. That's not necessary. There's a way to say, it's a wonderful person, a beautiful person. But I just don't see it working out. Not everything has to be said. That's it. These words are equivalent to saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, the land is ugly as sin. If you say to Hashem, to Moshe, we have a lot, mikneraf, we have our needs, we want to possess this land as our achuza. That's all that needs to be said. Why did you say these horrible words? Eretz Yisrael is poison. Al tavireinu es hayarde.
Did the Rambam say something similar to
yes,
that?
Yes, exactly. And in fact, the Ramban says this. Okay, the Ramban develops this in a much greater detail. And the Ramban says, what exactly was the chid of the Meraglim? The Meraglim was reconnaissance. Reconnaissance. We're not asking your opinion. No one is asking your opinion. Your opinion is, like reminds me, they had that so long ago, who was one of the politicians, he took on George Stephanopoulos, I can't pronounce his name, George Stephanopoulos?
Stephanopoulos.
So what happened there, so he said to them, you know, it used to be in the olden days that reporters are, they don't have opinions. If there's an issue with a controversy, a reporter has two people in front of him, one person has opinion A, and the other has opinion B. You have a Democrat or Republican. And the reporter interviews both of them, and he lets the Democrat say his opinion, and lets the Republican say his opinion. And the reporter's job is to be neutral. It's just to enable the two opinions to be expressed. Here, there's no two sides. You're the other side. You're a journalist. And all the journalists, they've taken a side. What kind of you have destroyed your profession? That's not what you do. The Meraglim, it's not their job to express an opinion. Moshe selected the Nesiim, go check out the land, take pictures, and report back, give us details. Don't come back and tell us what you think if we should go, should you not go? And in fact, they came back and they did their job, but they slanted. They slanted it in such a way, hoping that Klal Yisrael will take the bait and say, we're not going to go. And then the Ramban learns this, they saw it wasn't working. Even though they presented the land as an ugly land, a horrible land, a land of disease, and Meshugayim lived there, the Anakim, Klal Yisrael didn't take the bait. They still wanted to go. And then Yehoshua started encouraging them that it's beautiful. And when they saw they weren't getting what they wanted, then they said, all of a sudden, they voiced their opinion. We're not going. We can't go. It's impossible to go. They voiced their opinion. Oh, and that's when all Gehenim broke loose. Let me read you the pasuk. What happened over there? The chesaron was, not everything they said was not as nasty. But Hashem said, it's okay. You could have a nasty opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. But who asked you for advice? Who asked you for advice? Let me read you the words. Vayavol nachal, they come back. Vayelchu el Aaron, vilkolas Yisrael, vilnibar paron. Vayoshivu es samdovar, vyeskol id, vayarum. They show them as pri haaretz, giant-sized fruit. This is not normal. There's something is wrong here. Vayisapru lo, vayoymru, bonu el haaretz, asher shalachtanu. Vigam zavas chol v'dvashi. Yeah, it's taka, a good land. V'zepir, efes. But, ki as ha'om, the people are impossible. Hayeshe ba'aretz, v'harim, b'tsurois g'dolos me'oid, v'gam yidah ha'on nakrinu sham. Amolek yeshe v'yaretz ha'negev, v'achid v'yavayus, v'yamar yeshe ba'aretz, v'gam yeshe ba'aretz. They didn't do anything wrong yet. They did not do anything that deserves, they were nasty. They were trying to slant it in their way, but they did not offer their opinion yet. And Klal Yisrael was listening, taking it all in. Vayahas Kolev Esa'am El Moshe. Kolev, he diverted the people El Moshe Vayoymer. Kolev gave advice. He gave advice. El Moshe, with Moshe, and he said, my advice is, Oloi Na'alev Yerashnu Oysa. He gave advice, Kolev. That he was, you know what, because Hashem said, you're going into Eretz Yisrael, that advice you're allowed to give. When Hashem tells you, I'm giving you this land, Hashem said to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and to the others, and to all the Shvatim, I'm giving you. So to give advice, to go, that's a good advice. The Meraglim, so far, did nothing wrong. They painted an ugly picture of the land. Ugly, ugly picture, slanted, corrupt, the CNN version of Eretz Yisrael, but no editorial. There was no editorial, just a presentation. And now they presented, and Klal Yisrael, they're listening, they're thinking, not so good, not so good. Yeshua sees they're not so, so he gives them advice, no, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. The Meraglim see the people don't want to take the vaccine. They don't want to go into lockdown. They don't want to put on the mask. Oh, now comes the time. Veho anoshim asher olu imo. Here comes the Amru. They said, Lo nuchal la'alois el ha'om, ki chazak hu mimenu. It's even more powerful than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is where they finished themselves off. Who asked you for your 2 cents? Who asked you to say those words? Mind your own business. You were sent to take pictures, to fly your planes, the reconnaissance aircraft,
drones.
Who asked you for your opinion? Mind your own business. No. Loi, let the whole Klal Yisrael hear what we have to say. Loi nuchal. The journalists are giving their daya. Who asked you? You're a journalist. A journalist, traditionally, you want to redefine the industry, good for you, but traditionally, a journalist is just there to report the news. If there are two opinions, so be an enabler, a facilitator in bringing out the two opinions. Who are you to decide who's right, who's wrong? No, we're going to decide. We're going to make the decision. These are the Mark Zuckerbergs, the Dorseys and the Larry Page of the generation. We'll tell you what we think. We'll tell you our opinion. No one else counts. Ooh. That was a curse. That was the Churban. Moshe Rabbeinu is listening here to B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven. They say, Moshe Rabbeinu, Mikne Rav. We want to... Okay, I hear. You don't appreciate the land. I'm listening. I'm a listener. You want to stay here. Everything is good. If you're not ready for the land, so you're not ready. Moshe Rabbeinu is willing to work with you if you're not ready to go to Eretz Yisrael. But when they opened up their mouths and they said the words, Al Tavireinu Es Hayardein, that's not necessary to say that. And when everyone in Klal Yisrael hears you say that, you're influencing them. This is deja vu all over again. It's exactly what the Meraglim did. The Meraglim were sent for reconnaissance. They were not sent to give advice. You're giving advice. You're telling Al Tavireinu, you're saying there's something wrong with this land. Hid in those words is a connotation that you detest this land, you don't want this land, and that's horrible. There's a Musa Haskel here for us. We're finishing right now. Musa Haskel is, how come we're not in Eretz Yisrael? What are we doing here? No one has a good excuse. Certainly not me. What are we doing in America? There's plenty of opportunities to be in Eretz Yisrael. Well, why is a major chunk of Klal Yisrael not making Aliyah? What's going on? Excuses. All right, listen. Moshe Rabbeinu was also willing to work with B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven with their excuses. Mikneraf! Pathetic excuse, but no. Okay, fine. The only time Moshe got angry was when you said, Al Tavireinu Es Hayardein. For an American Jew to say, I will not go to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is corrupt. It's problematic. I don't want to go there. It's horrible to live there. Everything is wrong. Don't go there. You're going to ruin your life. Who's asking you? You have a good reason to be here. You don't want to go. Good. Is your excuse a good excuse? Probably not. It's probably a pathetic excuse. But okay. You have an excuse. Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to work with excuses. But to open up your mouth and to say, you know why I'm not going to Eretz Yisrael? Because the people there are crazy. you can't make a living. You can't do this. It's horrible. This is no good. That's no good. It's dangerous. That's unexcusable. To say the words, Al Tavireinu Es Hayardein, to say the words, Loi Nuchal Lalos Ki Azo Ki Chazoku Menu, that's a terrible, terrible logic. You don't want to go? Okay. It's acceptable. There are excuses. If it's a good excuse, not a good excuse, that's no one's business. We'll accommodate you. That's acceptable. Not everyone is ready to go. It's fine. But don't go and turn around and try to say something negative. Don't do that. That's horrible. That's a very bad thing. You know what it's like? You see this. This is a problem. You see this? It's a little controversial, I can tell you. Is there are people, for whatever reason, don't want to take the vaccine. Whatever, I don't know, none of my business. There are people. They have whatever their reasons are. They're a doctor, they're put under enormous pressure by their colleagues in business, in different industries. If you must take the vaccine. Now, some of them are because, you know, they have reasons, because I'm afraid for your life. You're gonna die if you don't take it. They really believe that. That's beautiful. Some people was because I'm afraid if you didn't take the vaccine, you're gonna be sick and you're gonna make me sick. There are a lot of reasons. But there's no question about it. There's no question about it that there are people that put pressure on other people. Is, you know, I took the vaccine. I risked my life to take the vaccine. I was also scared to take the vaccine. I don't know what side effects could have. And I did it. So as a way of legitimizing what I've done, I want you all to be like me. You want to take what you did, and you want to legitimize your dilemma by forcing other people to be just like you. You're not telling them to do something because you really believe it's for their best interest. You're telling them because it's a selfish act. Okay, I'm not saying everyone is like the Chas V'Shalom, but there are definitely a few people, one in a million, they're telling you to do something. Why? Because you care about me, you couldn't kill us. You're afraid that I'm going to kill you? No, you're not. Why? Because you did it, so you wanna prove to yourself that you're doing the right thing, and the way you're gonna prove it is when everyone else in your yeshiva does it, so everyone's gonna be like you. That's the miraglim. The miraglim they don't want. Okay, you don't want, fine. But you wanna go convince other people to be like you? B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven, Al Tavi Reinu. It's like B'loshen Rabin. We don't want to cross there. And the same way, we don't want to cross, no one should cross the yard. Everyone should stay with us over here. There's something wrong with that statement, which is painful, which is harmful, which is going over the top, that is not proper. Just because you don't want to do something, and maybe you don't want to do it for the wrong reason, you have no right to turn the tables and go say, that's wrong. Don't say those words. There's no need to say Al Tavrin Siyad, and just like the Meravah, no right to say we cannot go to Eretz Yisrael. And it's something that definitely I feel is a very practical application for us in our lives in many different ways. Our boys have a wonderful Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh. It should be a Chodesh that's Nepach from Eidel Liyomtov. It should be Nepach to Simcha V'Sosim for all of us and the whole Klal Yisrael. We should be so good to be as called Mashiach in the middle of Shabbos. Good Shabbos, Mayor. What happened to you today?
It was raining. I couldn't bring Tamari. I
wanted
to
go to Shabbos. Good Shabbos, Shabbos. Okay.
How many people were there?
You
had
11.
Okay, Achad so also.
Why doesn't someone say again?
About ten.
About 10 people.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
By the way, when Rabbi Lau met with the Pope, the Pope also covered the cross, and he met in the Castle Gandalf where there were no statues. He didn't want to meet with him where there were statues.
Pope Benedict. He came to Park East Synagogue.
Yeah.
So he wore his cross.
Yeah, because
So I think I remember reading this years ago. I remember year they.